Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Christ, Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name is Nicholas. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and we've got around to the point where Cain and Abel, the story of Cain and Abel. I'm going to jump ahead here and read a little passage from the New Testament. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Of course, we know that the law was from the beginning. He just says it here, because death was what was required as a payment for sin. Even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him who was to come. What does that mean? After the similitude of Adam's transgression. Well, you're born in sin, but Adam, well, he chose disobedience, and we discussed that he didn't really know what disobedience was until he chose it. Perhaps there's a difference there. But it says, he who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. That's why Christ, Yeshua, was called the second Adam. And I'm reading from Romans chapter 5. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men. And the free gift is added, because when I'm looking at my authorized King James Version, it's called the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. But it says, really, if you read it without the free gift came, it says, by righteousness of one upon all men unto justification of life. Because I don't believe it was a free gift. I believe that the price was very high. And I don't believe that the free gift comes of eternal life comes upon all men. As if you read that when it's added in there, that's what it says. No, the free gift is available to all men, but it doesn't come upon them all until they receive it. Unfortunately, most men won't receive it. Paul continues here in the book of Romans. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, we can all identify with that, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that's what we were talking about yesterday. By one's disobedience, we all were made disobedient. We were born into a state of disobedience. We left off yesterday in Genesis, around Genesis 4:10, where the Lord was walking and he said to, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the wilderness. He couldn't get a confession out of Cain. There was no way that Cain was going to repent. And reminds me of another scripture, so I'm going to skip ahead to that here. Let's see, where was that at? Oops, wrong bear with me here. Thought I had this all set up, but there we go. Accept. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And that's what I've been talking about for several days, that obedience, by faith, we choose obedience. By faith, Adam and Eve repented of their sin and chose obedience. And how do we know that they chose obedience? Because they were looking forward to the promised redemption. And we'll see that as we go through the narrative here. So we know, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So we know that Abel, by faith, offered his sacrifice. He was obedient. He offered the sacrifice that was required. Cain did not. Cain, it rose up in his pride and said that, you know, the Heavenly Father, our Creator, is going to have to accept the work of my hands. And it was a works-based religion that he was establishing, the first works-based religion. He was tempted by the evil one, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, of course, speaking of Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, testifying of his gifts. And let me go to the next reference here. The reference here is not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Why did he slay him? It says in the King James English here. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. So what's the difference between their works? You know, like I said, nothing has changed. His works were righteous. Abel's works were righteous because he moved ahead in obedience. He acted in faith. Faith, the evidence of faith is obedience. He brought the required sacrifice. He was obedient. Cain was not obedient. He made up his mind. He said, forget God's law, forget the Creator's law, forget what he wants. I'm going to make up my own law here. I'm going to live by my law. I will be my own God. Basically, that's what he's saying. He said that the Creator's going to have to accept my works are going to have to suffice. And if he don't like it, well, it's just too bad. And that's why we see no repentance from Cain. He said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Saying, you can't hide it. I know what you did. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now are you cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, you shall not henceforth yield unto your strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto Yahuwah, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Wow, you know, murder is a capital crime. His punishment was lenience. He should have been killed there on the spot. He should have been hanged or crucified or, you know. But all he's thinking about is himself. There's no repentance here. There's no sorrow for his sin. There's no going, I am so sorry, Father. I disobeyed your law, and I don't want to do that anymore. Please teach me how to be obedient. There's none of that here. Not like David, who cried out and repented. Not like Peter, the apostle, the disciple, who fell terribly when he denied his Savior. He repented. Cain is more like Judas, who didn't repent. Still thought he was right in what he did. Only thought about himself. My punishment is greater than I can bear, he says. You've driven me out. He just repeats the judgment. You've made me you've driven me out. He's driving him out of what? Well, the ecclesia. He says, you've driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Well, he made the decision himself. Really? He doesn't want the law of the kingdom that says thou shalt not murder. Love Yahuwah, your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. He made up his own law. My works, what I do is right. I'll be my own God and write my own law and live by that. And he didn't repent. The decision was his. The Heavenly Father's just pronouncing the judgment. You've driven me out. And what did he expect? What did he think? Oh, well, I'm going to live in the kingdom of Yahuwah, yet not live by the law? He made the choice. He alienated himself from the kingdom, from the ecclesia. And as I was, discussed yesterday, that yes, the ecclesia has been from the beginning. The church is not a new thing. It wasn't plan B because national Israel rejected the Messiah. The ecclesia was before because obviously, look at it. You had in national Israel, you had an ecclesia. Those that were searching for the truth, waiting for the Messiah, and followed him when he came. They were looking forward. They were the ecclesia. They were of the kingdom of God. They were those who wanted to please the Heavenly Father, who desired more than anything to live an obedient life. They were those who chose to repent from their evil ways. They chose to repent from the condition that they were born into, that condition of disobedience, and chose obedience as a way of life. They stepped over into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Heavenly Father, and said, I desire to live by your law. I desire to do things that only please you. I repent of my evil ways. And when I do wrong, I want you to write upon my law your heart so that I won't sin against you again. Teach me obedience. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how many times I fall down. I want you to take my hand and pull me back up and teach me how to stand, how to walk in your ways forever, and keep me in your kingdom forever. That is the prayer. That is the desire of the righteous. That is the mind of those that want to live in his kingdom and have accepted and look forward to their redemption, have accepted the work that he did when he became a man and carried our sin debt to the cross and to death. By his death and resurrection, we have faith and look forward to entering into death and resurrection ourselves. It's not a comfortable thing, but we're all going to die, what believer and unbeliever. Our flesh is going to be planted in the ground, but the unbeliever has no hope. But we have hope. Cain, my punishment is greater than I can bear. He should have been asking for forgiveness. He should have been saying, please keep me from disobeying your law. Teach me how to love my neighbor, my brother, as I love myself. Teach me your ways. And so Cain is worried about himself. He's fearful now. He says, oh, and it'll come to pass that everyone that finds me will murder me. He's worried that what he did to his brother is going to happen to him. Not repented that he did it. He's fearful now. And that's what sin does. It makes you fearful. So our merciful Heavenly Father, his high priest, whom he refused to bring the proper sacrifice to, says to him, well, okay, Cain, go out and don't worry about it. Anyone who slays you, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the word went out. Nobody's going to touch Cain if they hear a sevenfold vengeance. I mean, you think it was a fearful thing for Cain to accept his judgment. Anyone thinking about taking seven times what Cain took, well, that would be a good deterrence. Set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And the mark, was it a physical mark? No. You know, it would be more like a spiritual mark. It would be more like, you know, like a beacon. They have a radio beacons in the ocean, you know, that so that ships don't run aground. So no one runs aground of Cain and kills him. There's a beacon on Cain, a mark that keeps people away from him. Our Heavenly Father can do things like this. It doesn't have to be a physical mark. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahuwah and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And I don't believe this is the same Enoch that walked with the Heavenly Father. This is a different Enoch, just the same name. And he built a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, which means fugitive. And Irad begot Mahujael, which means smitten of God. You know, getting a good idea of what the family of Cain, out from the presence of our Heavenly Father, away from the ecclesia, what's going on there. And of course, his line dies. And we have a little genealogy here. Lamech took him two wives. The name of one was Ada, then the name of the other was Zillah. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she bore Tubal-Cain, the instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken to my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. And we don't have any details on this slaying, whether it was a murder or what the circumstances were. And he says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And that's pretty much all we get about Cain and his lineage. But we see a way of life there, of the seed of the evil one. Cain was truly of the seed of the serpent. I'm not saying Cain was born of Adam and Eve, just like Abel, and just like all of the other children. So we learn that the seed of the serpent is not a physical seed. It's not the seed of the woman. It's not the physical seed of the man. But in a way it is. I mean, we're all born of disobedience. So perhaps the seed of the serpent, or the seed of the evil one, as when, you know, Yeshua said to the scribes, Pharisees, the ones he called hypocrites, you are of your father, the devil. Because they said, well, our father is Moses, or our father is Abraham. They said something. No, they said our father is Abraham. They didn't say Moses. They said our father is Abraham, which means they could have even been Edomites. They could have been any. They didn't have to be Israelites, because Abraham preceded Israel. But he said, no, you're of your father, the devil. Said, you know, the influence of your disobedience, listening to the evil one, of walking in the disobedience rather than choosing obedience, that is the determining factor in your life of who your father really is. You are of your father, the evil one. Now, if you choose a life of obedience, if you choose to walk in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father by saying, yes, teach me how to love you and how to love my neighbor as myself. Teach me your ways, O Yahuwah, that I may not sin against you. You know, if that is our desire, if that's what we decide, then our Father is the Heavenly Father. If we choose a life of disobedience, whether we pretend to be righteous, or we just blatantly say, I don't believe in God, there is no God, or I'm an atheist, or whatever defense we have, it doesn't matter what defense you have. If you've chosen a life of disobedience, then your father's the evil one. Well, you can forsake him. That's the option we have. Genesis 4:25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. See, there's a hint there of the faith of Eve, of Adam and Eve. He appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And the recognition, I mean, everybody knew what was going on here. The population was not just three people, obviously. How did Cain have a wife and all of these children? And did he, and are we stepping back, or we took a branch that perhaps went off into the future of Cain's line, but now we're stepping back into the narrative. Cain still has to fulfill this short genealogy. There's nothing saying that this is all happening chronologically. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't say that this is a chronological narrative, as it was in Genesis 1:1. It was a chronological narrative. After that, nothing is necessarily chronological, but we see there's a chronology to it. So, the whole population of the earth, we don't know how many people were on the earth at this time. Cain and Abel and Cain were grown men. I mean, Abel was out raising sheep for what? For the sacrifice. And probably for clothing too, for wool, whatever. You know, they had their reasons, but he was raising sheep for the sacrifice. And they ate the sacrifice. Don't kid yourself. And, Cain was a farmer. He was growing food. Nothing wrong with being a farmer. And a lot of people say, well, it wasn't fair that, you know, Yahuwah did not accept the work of Cain's hands as he accepted the work of Abel's hands. Well, that wasn't the object at all. That would seem that way. If you're without understanding, that's what you might think. But understanding says that they learned the sacrifice from the beginning. They were taught the sacrifice. They were taught what was required as a covering for their sin, and that was that blood had to be shed. And Adam and Eve had probably had hundreds of children by the time that Cain and Abel were born. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't say that she only had these children. The scripture doesn't say that she didn't have twins, triplets, quintuplets, sextuplets, septuplets. It doesn't say, and it's likely that she did have multiple births. And by the time that Cain and Abel were grown, 30, 40 years old, and there could have, and you have young women bearing children at the age of 12, 13, could have been, probably was. So they probably had many grandchildren, children, grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren by the time Cain and Abel were born and this incident took place. They may have even had a few great-grandchildren, because we don't know exactly what the age is here, but you know, once we get into the genealogies, we can get more of an idea of what's going on. But the focus is on the difference between obedience. We're learning a lesson here about what is required from our Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about, even today. Obedience versus disobedience. What will you choose? That is the question. So Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and called his name Seth. For God, had, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son. So, you know, we're not talking a matter of a few minutes. And he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Wow. See, this was the righteous seed. They knew that Abel was righteous. They could tell because he chose obedience. They were looking at the promised Redeemer coming through Abel. And that's why she says this here. That Seth, that he has appointed me another seed instead of Abel whom Cain slew. They're looking forward. And then men began to call upon the name of Yahuwah. Because it says in there, it says the Lord, and we discussed that before, 3068, which is the name of our Creator, which was obliterated almost 6,000, at least 6,000 times by the translators of the King James Version, 1611, and Authorized King James Version. And I noticed something peculiar. They have a Hebrew names version, and I was really excited, but when I saw it, I was very disappointed because they left out the Hebrew name of the Creator. Well, we're going to a break. Be back in a few.